Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Guess who's here? A little late, but we had some technical difficulties. We figured it out. A little trial and error.
No temper tantrums.
No,
that
of course
was
not.
Very refreshing.
No.
I'll have to replace that window next week, but no. Yeah. Faulty wires, it happens. But here we go.
Without having to close down.
Yeah, no, without having to call anybody this time, no help. We just weaned out the issue one by one. So, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Among the Realms. We're here at Trinity Metaphysical Center, Hamburg, New Jersey. Joining me today, we have...
Good evening, everybody. This is Dana.
Hello, Perry here.
Hello from Jackie.
And Rodney's here. How's everybody doing this week? I asked you that twice already. I want to ask you one more time. How's everybody doing? I'm just joking. I'm saying it over and over again.
Hopefully we can cram all of our stuff in.
Yeah, we lost about 15 minutes, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, this week is another great week, a busy, busy week. We are talking about the strangest and creepiest unsolved mysteries of all time. So we're not just, we're kind of going off with every kind of unsolved mysteries, not just anything particular.
Paranormal.
Paranormal.
And all paranormal stuff.
We are a paranormal group, after all.
We are a paranormal
and metaphysical
show.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We do stuff that's not normal.
And other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever we got. Let's see. Have we ever heard of the ghost ship Mary? What is it?
Celeste.
What is it? Celeste? Is that what it is?
Yep.
So that was the first question we had up on Blog Talk. What's that all about?
The ghost ship Mary Celeste.
The ghost ship.
Yeah, that's in the pile.
Oh, it's in the pile of your archives over there?
I have it here.
You got it?
Yep.
So tell me about it.
The ghost ship Mary Celeste. So this was a ship that apparently had everybody who was on it disappear, and that was in, it was actually back in 1872, but it was a British-American ship, and they just found it floating in the Atlantic. And everything was on it. The cargo, it was seaworthy. There was nothing wrong with it. The only thing missing was the lifeboat. But it appeared that it had been boarded, and they couldn't figure out why would it have been boarded. And everybody who was on that boat, they never found them. They never found the lifeboat. So basically it left from New York for Italy. And it was Captain Benjamin Briggs and 7 crew members, including his wife and their 2-year-old daughter.
Wow.
And they had enough on there to last for 6 months, and then, including like a sewing machine, a piano. So it was a pretty big luxury ship.
Oh, wow.
And they said that all of a sudden they never saw anybody again, and they found the abandoned ship. And they said that the last entry into the ship's log doesn't reveal anything unusual. Everything was still in order. So there were lots of theories, but they never found
out.
Where
was it found, the ship?
In the Atlantic, floating in the Atlantic.
Just floating?
And they thought, like, back then they had a lot of pirates and stuff, so they thought maybe there was a pirate attack or
yeah, but usually
a
those
big
pirates,
sea monster
they
or
take
something like
everything,
that.
You know?
That's what they're saying. There was
if
nothing.
All the cargo was still there, you know. Someone...
Nothing. There was nothing.
The Atlantic, you know, it's in the Atlantic, the Bermuda Triangle.
Yep. And then they thought maybe it was a scientific anomaly, like maybe something happened to them that they couldn't explain because they didn't leave anything behind. So it's one of the bigger mysteries, like Amelia Earhart, for the disappearance.
Wow.
There's a lot of ghost ship ones, though, where ships are found and there's nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just disappeared.
Or the whole crew, like a whole packed ship disappeared. Like they do in the Bermuda Triangle, and then they find the ship floating somewhere later.
You know, if they'd run into any kind of trouble, if he was the captain of the ship, he would have marked that down in the logs, because they were very just meticulous about marking those things down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what it was, even if it was something strange, they would write that down in the log, I think, especially during that time.
Yep.
No signs of struggle, no signs of anything.
No signs of anything.
No.
It sounds like they were just lifted off into space or something.
Yeah.
You know, or something odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Portals. Mm. Yeah.
Definitely.
You figured the whole ship would go into it, though, if it was a portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, there's those dimensional dimensional timeline.
It's a frequency difference in the Earth. The energy field is different. It's off, and it can zip you right out.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia experiment. They did that purposely, though. They fine-tuned the magnetic field and everything all around it to a frequency where it started to kind of dematerialize into the void. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary.
Mm. Yeah. Frequencies. Frequency. I was listening to something today when I was on my walk about frequencies. And you think about this, it's like everybody's got a different, slightly different frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And if you become one with the frequency of what you want to be, then you become that thing, which is, I hadn't thought of it quite like that before.
No.
So, you know, it
everything's energy.
They could have run into some kind of a frequency variation out there that reacted with the human body.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every single thing is energy. That's how we see colors, too. Green is a slightly different frequency than the red, and then orange, and then blue, and then purple.
Mm.
It's all different frequencies, so that's how we perceive it differently because they're different wavelengths.
And they're different temperatures also, each one of these colors.
It's all energy.
Yeah.
What do you got over there, huh?
I remembered one of the questions.
Looks like you found something.
Yeah, I remembered one of the questions was, what was the new evidence for Jack the Ripper?
Oh yeah.
Jack the Ripper.
And so they said that apparently a postcard that somebody wrote a postcard that said they were Jack the Ripper and it resurfaced. So the police had it and it supposedly just recently resurfaced.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like recently? Like now recently?
Yeah, it was like April.
Really?
This year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big claim.
Well, yeah, and that's one of those cases. We've talked about that one on the show previously, that they've, no matter how many theories they come up with or what, like, kind of an idea of what they have of who it could be, that they've never been able to solve that. They even went to where they thought it was Jill the Ripper, because I remember they went through that one where maybe it was a female, but they were saying with the strength that was used, it would, you know, it wouldn't be likely.
Yeah.
There's also the, you know, the theory that it was, you know, a man from the upper classes that was being protected by family members or the police or something because they could buy him off.
Yeah.
You know, but because if it was a person of the lower classes, you know, they would have strung him up if they'd have found him for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, if you go on, if you look at the, like, even the Google pictures or even images, the actual, like, Wikipedia picture has a giant, like, black circle over his face because they don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a bunch of people claiming to be him. But why would you want to claim to be him?
Yeah, that, I don't.
Well, because.
Serial killer.
Yeah,
because some people like the notoriety. You know, every time you put out, I'm sure you know this as a policeman. When you put out, you know, an all points bulletin on somebody, or you're looking for somebody. All the fake confessions.
Yeah.
Because they say, I'm it.
Yeah, they want the publicity.
Right.
That's exactly what it is.
I think they're auctioning that off to that postcard.
Really?
That's
crazy.
You should get your hands on it. See what you feel.
Ooh.
Oh,
talk about talk about psychometry.
Yeah, really? That would be good for class.
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper.
A little creepy.
Yeah.
1888.
Well, you said creepy.
Yep. The strange.
That's our favorite creepy serial killer.
Anything that's strange and creepy, if it's an unsolved mystery, is always the paranormal.
The scarier the better,
yeah,
in my
because
opinion.
It's something that you can't figure out. It's
nope,
not just
I love it.
Not random things like what we were talking about, you know, where there's just maybe they didn't find a serial killer or things like that. But there's always some kind of weird thing around some of these unsolved ones where there's no explanation for it.
Right.
That's why they can't solve it. It's not just a matter of not being able to find someone.
Right.
You know.
This is kind of a strange one I found. This is in June 30th of 1999. Ricky McCormick was found in a field in St. Charles County, Missouri. He'd been missing only 72 hours, but his body was already badly decomposed, way more than is normal for just being gone that long. Then 12 years later, in 2011, the FBI revealed they had found two notes in his pocket written in a complex cipher. He was a high school dropout and could barely write his own name. And to this day, the top cryptographers in the United States have been unable to unravel these cryptoid notes mm-hmm. that were in his pocket. Written very strange. To this day, they don't know what happened. They don't know who he killed. They don't know where these notes came from.
Wow.
And how he decomposed so fast. Mm-hmm.
You have one where the girl decomposed at all. Yeah, you might.
I do.
You.
Check my schedule here.
Wendy
doesn't smell bad at all.
There was one.
Yeah, I was just sleeping.
That was weird that they said that they didn't.
It wasn't the saint from in South America.
No,
was it?
It was a young girl who died of tuberculosis or something.
Okay.
I think.
The baffling case of little Pauline Piscard.
Piscard?
Yeah.
Picard.
P-I-C-A-R-D. Picard.
Picard. Captain Luke
sure,
Picard.
Call him the Angry Spirit.
No. Star Trek. We're ready to go for Star Trek. He's going to come back and redo it. I'm ready.
Let's see. She disappeared from her family's farm in France, April 1922.
Maybe that was...
This is the only one I have with a girl.
It's the only one I have. You
mm-hmm.
have so many.
I know.
He's got a stack of pieces. Oh, here it is.
Is this one?
You got to read
it. Oh, yeah. There's the girl right there.
I didn't say pictures.
There she is.
With it.
Her name is Mercy Brown.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. She was, the young girl. She actually died of tuberculosis in England in 1892.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. She was exhumed along with her mother and sister, who also died of the same disease mm-hmm. in 1892. When her father was told a sinister spirit may be at work on his family. It's mm-hmm. a curse
because they had all tuberculosis.
All three of them.
That's not uncommon.
Yeah,
so
isn't it contagious?
Yes,
TB,
very,
right?
Very
contagious. It's a lung disease, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, airborne. If it gets bad enough.
Yep.
When Mary's body was brought to the light, it didn't show any signs of decomposition at all, despite being buried for 2 months. Her skin was perfectly preserved. Her hair and nails had grown, and even though she was dead, her nails were still growing.
Yeah.
Wow.
She still had liquid blood. Even more weirdly, her body said that it had moved positions in the grave.
She was one of those bells. She needed one of the bell thingies.
Yeah, a few weeks ago we were talking about that, and buried alive by accident.
Oh, that's horrible.
So for two months she was like that?
2 months.
Well, she couldn't have lived for 2 months without water.
No, but they're saying she was buried 2 months before, but we don't know how.
Right.
You know how fast is it usually decomposes
within a week?
Within
a week it starts going into the first stages.
Well, it depends on how hot it is.
The heat too speeds it up.
Speed that up too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Scientists have tried to explain it. No theories have succeeded completely. They say perhaps she was suggested at the time a vampire child, sucking the life out of her family.
Mm-hmm. In the grave. Vampires.
They buried them together.
Mm. Vampires.
Oh, gross.
But vampires can, supposedly, they can be buried for a really long time.
Mm.
Wow.
That's crazy. So, yeah.
Huh. A vampire child.
Hmm.
Wow. New England.
That's a creepy one. What year was that?
1892.
I like that
Mother
one.
And her sister all at the same time.
Wow. Ooh, that would make a great novel, wouldn't it?
I guess obviously they were doing autopsies, and they were, because this is the late 1800s, so they were still gaining, the technology for those things weren't,
So they didn't do autopsies then.
No, I don't. I mean, apparently a couple months went by.
Well, they wouldn't anyway, because if it's tuberculosis, they're not gonna. That would just.
They must have if she was buried, they had to have redug her up to
do something
to see the nails that have grown to see all that stuff.
Yeah, why they dig her up?
My guess would be because they were saying that they were cursed or something. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he was double checking to see what did they
maybe
look like. Since he's
all three
that
go at the same time. I mean.
So the father had her dug up. Is that what you understand?
That's what I'm thinking. It doesn't say.
Right.
It just says mm-hmm. that they found her 2 months later with her hair grown, nails grown, still liquid blood. I mean, if you're dead for two months, that doesn't...
Yeah, I know that doesn't.
And moved.
Yeah, and moved and stuff. But still, even if it,
well,
let's just
vampire,
say she
I
was,
like that
let's just say
theory.
She was buried alive and she, you know, was trying to escape
she
and she was scratching.
Live 2 weeks
you would still
water,
die
yeah.
within a few weeks, and you would still go
and
decompose.
Air,
yeah, you would lose.
Air.
Yeah. You would suffocate. Yeah.
Even
if
she
you
had
even
a
woke up
air,
at all,
yeah.
because you know, by the time if you're laying there unconscious, by the time you won't even wake up because you're already suffocating.
Yeah. How long can your body go into that dormant? So like when you know when you have hypothermia and you can last
know.
A really long
well,
time.
Well, if you're frozen, you can stay underwater for hours if you're suffering from hypothermia without brain damage.
Hmm.
You know, and they've because they brought people back up and unthawed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but this is she's got to be a vampire.
Yeah,
she's got to be a vampire.
Got to be a vampire. You know, I always say, you know, do I really believe in vampires? I read a lot of vampire books, but this one is close.
Yeah. Vampires, they're cool.
They're cool. I mean, well, they're pretty dreadful, actually. It's like, but we always make it, the modern day vampires are sexy. So it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do on TV.
Yeah.
The new day and age.
But still scary.
Oh, yeah. See when in real life, things are sometimes starting to bite your neck. You don't want that.
Creepy.
Creepy.
What else you got? Anything?
Yes, I have actually. I think the second question?
The second question that we had from one of our listeners?
What were the questions? I didn't
see the
British Roswell.
The British Roswell.
Oh,
yeah. There was a British Roswell.
The Bennington Triangle, I remember we talked about a while
ago.
Yeah,
the Bennington Triangle, that one is actually up in New England.
Vermont.
Yep, it's in the New England state. And it's in southwestern Vermont. And there is up from 5 to 10 people have disappeared between 1920 and 1950, supposedly in this, like, Mystery Triangle, which is very similar to the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's in the Glastonbury Mountain, and it includes most of the area of the town surrounding it, so Bennington, Woodford, Shaftesbury, and Somerset. So basically, there, you know, they had a bunch of people who just like went missing. There was one guy in 1945 that was guiding a camp group, and he got a little ahead of them, and then he just disappeared. He just was gone by the time they caught up to him, or caught up to where he was, anyway. There was another one who was a college student who went hiking, and then she was never seen again. Then three hunters that went missing, and there was... So basically, there's no remains or no anything of these people. They just completely disappeared. They were all within... Some in the same year, some within a year of each other. There was another guy who got on a bus, and by the time he reached Bennington, he was just gone. He just disappeared.
Out the bus?
Anybody who went through that area. There was an 8-year-old who went missing. His scent was being followed by dogs, but then it was completely just, then the scent just completely disappeared out of the blue. And then there was another girl who was hiking with her cousin. They had gotten separated. The cousin went back to the camp to change her clothes because she had gotten wet, but then she never returned to the camp. So there was a big search, and they never found her. Her body was never found, nothing.
You know what that reminds me of? That's either a Bigfoot grabbing people, which is possible. And one of the explanations, I was reading this same thing. One of the, this is a New England author and occult researcher, Joseph Citro, came up with the Bennington Triangle Theory, and explain the disappearance is linked to a special energy that attracts outer space visitors who would have taken them back to their world. But I think, to me, the Bigfoot is more of a likely explanation.
I think they were, when they were doing, the ones I read were doing it like the Bermuda Triangle, where they went into like this time warp almost, and they,
right,
they just disappeared out of the...
Dimensional
where they
thing.
Were now.
It's
yeah,
a dimensional thing.
They would
thing.
Be walking, and then all of a sudden they were gone.
Yeah, there's actually, if you look in certain places of the internet, I mean, you could argue all day long if it's real or not, that it does happen that quick, because there are scientists that, you know, they, on video, they have these things that, you know, like I was saying before, with the frequencies and how you can raise this voltage to such a high level. It's these things actually start floating because of this anti-gravity. And if you get it to that perfect exact frequency, it will literally start to tilt. Mm-hmm. And when it starts to tilt, that's what it basically, like, it would look like it fell off a waterfall. It just completely disappears. Once it hits that exact stable frequency, it's gone.
So that frequency is to where?
No one knows. They
don't know?
Mm-hmm. Nope. They just start, what I was watching, they were saying that they just go. And some have come back in like pieces, mutilated.
Right.
It's just because we control the frequency in this part of the dimension. And when it goes into the other realm or the other dimension that we can't perceive, it's there. We just can't, you know.
Well, you know, that's yes and no, because there's enough.
It's not physical. It becomes transcendent. Yeah. I don't know if I've got the word for it. But
transcendental, you're thinking?
Yeah.
Transcendent?
Transcendent something. I forgot how to pronounce it. But it's basically how they claim that the UFOs are able to come in and out of this plane quickly and efficiently, because they literally dip into a little hole and they come out.
These dimensional things here.
And Earth is believed to have certain points, like the Bermuda Triangle, where they have these naturally occurring ones.
And there's enough stories about people who are walking along and all of a sudden there's the light shifts and all of a sudden they're in someplace totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or they get, the most famous one recently is that soldier or the skier.
Yeah.
Who got transported to the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, this one too.
The
skier guy, one of the ones you printed out for me, original story of that skier happened, and I actually have it here too. This is the second incident where they actually have it on record that somebody literally just...
But then, did he appear someplace else?
California.
Same thing. Well, the skier did.
The
skier did.
I don't know if it did.
I don't know. That one is one from.
This is the man of Vanished the Mare. His name was Ambrose Bierce. Author. He's a war hero. Ambrose. I can't pronounce his name.
That's right, Ambrose.
Ambrose. Yeah. It's probably one of the more. He's more famous for his disappearing than his right. He's a writer. In 1913, he wrote to his friends that he was traveling to Mexico with a pretty definite purpose, which is not at present. Doesn't make any sense. The logical explanation is that he ran. Here, you take care of this, because read it off.
Basically what they're saying is that they thought maybe he got into, he ran afoul of soldiers in the Mexican Revolution. So they thought maybe he was like taken hostage or something bad happened to him. But before he started his trip, he had been researching strange and bizarre disappearances. So, he ended up being, one of the ones he was doing was, Charles Ashmore. And that story goes that in 1878, Ashmore left his family farmhouse near Illinois. So he was in Quincy, Illinois, to get some water. It was a little bit away. And then he just never came back. So his family went to try to find him. And snow had just fallen. And they could see his footprints. And they went out. They saw go out the back door, go across the yard. His father followed the trail for a little bit, but then after about 75 yards, it just disappeared completely. There wasn't one footprint at all. There was nothing except smooth, unbroken snow, so there were no other animal prints or any other prints nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what theorized was that people could fall into these dimensional holes and be trapped there, suspended between life and death. What they're wondering is the same thing with this Ambrose guy, is when things like that happen where there's no possible explanation, especially like this, like the kid where there was snow and nothing where you could see, like something would have had to swoop down from the top and pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying his footprints didn't look like where it would have been moved or like there was any kind of struggle or anything.
It just disappeared.
There was nothing next to it. and that he just like disappeared into this hole. And that's what we were just talking about, what you guys were just talking about with those warps or those little rifts in time.
Rifts in time,
in
which
we know even doing paranormal work, we know there are portals, we know there are things like that where spirits can do it. So why couldn't there be something where...
It just has to be a much higher frequency for our physical beings to be able to get sucked through it. And who knows? I mean, the stories, I mean, of some of the people who claim to have understood and been in trials with the government and talking about things like the Philadelphia experiment and having them go into these voids and it just be complete darkness and... And then the time just stood still, and everything was frozen. And then, you know, all these people who claim to have these, you know, they're like those whistleblowers. They have the witness testimonies claiming that they were part of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you wonder, like, because unless somebody fully gets to go and comes back,
were they saying that they went through this and came back? Is what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were doing experiments on, is it military? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they disappeared and they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like going?
Some didn't make it back. They were referring to the Philadelphia experiment, and as I said, it was similar to it.
Right.
But it's the technology has grown so much since then. It's pretty much not a bubble you sit in, but the one guy was explaining it. He said it was so weird. He would sit in this weird chair, and all of a sudden he would just be gone, and there would be these funnels and tunnels and loud noises. And he would just feel this heaviness in his body and then get sucked back. And then when he came back, it was like a week later and he felt like he was like gone for a few seconds. It was weird. So however it works with your physical body versus, you know, we don't know. There's no cameras.
You know
these are just the testimonies.
That's happened to is
just came back disoriented.
Who's our mind reader? Mentalist.
Oh, Kreskin?
Kreskin. In his book, he talks about that happening to him, that he's getting ready to go on stage, and he's back behind the curtain, and he stops, and all of a sudden, he goes. And he thinks he goes to a place where he thinks he's gone for like a week, 2 weeks. He comes back, it's 30 seconds later.
Yep.
You know? And he's got all of this information and details, fascinating stuff, you know, where he's given messages.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So I got to go back and look at this, because he made predictions for this year and the next couple of years on a whole bunch of interesting things. There was something called the ghost blimp that was interesting, too. In 1942, outside of San Francisco, the people saw something strange in the sky, a sagging, broken-looking blimp just sort of falling out of the sky. It landed on a rooftop and then it ran into a group of power lines. The weight was enough to take down the power lines, causing a lot of damage to the whole area, taking out the electricity and everything. Nearby citizens rushed to assist the crew of the blimp, but there was nobody in it. There was nobody there. Everything within the cab looked normal. Radio and engine were working perfectly. Perhaps parachutes or lifeboats were missing. So where did the crew go? When the blimp had left the naval station that morning, it had been crewed by two men, Lieutenant Ernest Cody and Ensign Charles Adams. They were never seen again, although the blimp was repaired and used for another 40 years. So these poor guys, they left in the blimp, and they got lifted out, just like some of these other people we're talking about in the woods. All of a sudden they're there, then they're not there. Whether they ran across one of these frequency zones, frequency holes, well, I don't know what you call it. Yeah.
I mean, the natural occurring portals are just completely unexplainable as far as we know here.
Yeah.
But the ones that they try to induce, well, with electricity, that's what it is, electricity induces the frequency. But naturally occurring ones, it's just there's not an explanation.
Right.
As far as we know.
Because there's enough people that have disappeared and come back over the last couple of hundred years that just defy all kinds of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where did they go? And they don't even remember.
A lot of times they don't remember.
Yeah, disoriented. Mm-hmm. Which seems to be the pretty common...
It
seems to be the pretty common side effect.
Yeah.
Mm. What else do you get over there?
I have one from Britain. Britain. This is a bunch of severe, like, fatal car crashes that have happened. Like, lots of collisions on this specific stretch of road. And basically what they said is, this legend says, any of the witnesses or the people, the survivors, like the ones who actually did survive it, said that they saw, like, a pair of hairy hands grab their steering wheel and turn their car into a ditch. While they were driving, so, like, most of the people died, but there were some who actually survived, and that's what they saw. It's the last thing they saw.
Disembodied hairy hands?
Just hairy hands. And some people feel like from that area, the local people feel that those hands are from this guy that who they don't know that had actually died on that road. So almost a ghost who apparently had hairy hands. Supposedly that guy was supposed to have died in an accident on the road and then he haunts it. But apparently it was more than one, you know, witness saying in different ones, like different cars, saying that that was the last thing they remember seeing.
So he was causing accidents, they're saying.
Taking him down with him, I guess it sounds like.
Wow, that's rare, yeah.
That is a creepy one.
Yeah,
of course, creepy. You can't prove or disprove that one. But when people all tell the same story that don't know each other.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Huh.
I have one also from, this was actually 1983. Where there were 60 reported sightings in the UK of a cat-like animal, which did not belong in the UK. So it wasn't one that was indigenous to there. And the descriptions of the beast were all pretty much the same. So they had unexplained livestock mutilation.
I can't get the word out. Now.
Just like when we used to talk about those creepy cryptid ones that we used to talk, you know, on our previous shows. But yeah, and right away everybody goes to that where there's something that happens to the livestock and things like that. Some people had photos, some people had videos, but they don't know what it is. They never figured out what it was. So it was just like a rash of, you know, sightings just around that time, and then it just stopped. I guess if they see them once in a while, it wasn't as strong. Just like we hear, you know, sometimes we have those things where you'll find report after report after report, and then all of a sudden it, like, dies down, and maybe you'll hear one or two.
Mm-hmm. Energy fades.
They have a lot. They have a lot in the UK.
Yeah.
A lot of unusual, you know.
That's where most of us originated from over the years.
A lot of unsolved mysteries.
That's where all the stuff is happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they still have a lot of fairies and trolls over there, so, right?
In Scotland.
Fairies and trolls, yeah.
The trolls.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a long history of being, you know, very connected to these otherworldly kind of creatures.
Mm-hmm. Do you, you might remember, Dana, do you remember that video that was released where they did the, because I actually found something on it, where they were supposed to have done the alien autopsy?
Yes.
It was like 17 minutes long.
Yes, Stephen Greer's.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a bunch of those.
Well, supposedly...
Oh, well, there was the Area 51 one. And then, but then Stephen Greer's is a small little
one. He's a small one that that little girl found.
Yeah.
Over
this one is where they said the film producer had said he had found it among 22 reels of film that was... collected from the retired military.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a military cameraman.
Yes,
that he did.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen it. Actually.
Yep, and he was there for that cameraman was there for 40 years. So
yep. He
said he made the film, but basically what they're saying now is the only person who would ever know. I guess they don't. I don't know if they don't know if he's not here anymore or.
Oh, he's dead. Or
yeah,
he, you know, died of.
For them to know for. Apart, but basically, because once that came out and everybody, you know, panicked, or it obviously we know because the government doesn't like when, you know.
No, the second something hits the internet, they're knocking on your front door. to try to keep that stuff in the DNA.
Well, I think it's because supposedly because this was a non-human entity that was being dissected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I remember correctly, it had died in a crash or had survived very briefly and then died.
Very briefly and then died. It had a couple of lacerations to the head. It was very small. They tried, like a year after that came out, they tried saying they fully confirmed it was a small human, a small child, which is ridiculous. Mm. If you look at that skeleton,
come on.
Now you just sound stupid. You would have been better off just keeping around, not even saying anything in the first place. You can't cover that, something like that
up. Some people believe the reason the government has it's hard for them is because they don't want to, you know, make a panic worldwide. You know, they don't want to panic, you know, mankind with it.
That's an easy excuse for people to use.
Yeah. Do you know the astrophysicist who did the show? Was it Tice DeGrasse?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil
deGrasse Tyson.
I was listening to him on the radio. He was on the radio just because he's got a new book out, which all has to do with our scientific exploration and the military. Because he said you're never going to, there would be never any money for these amazing kind of things unless the military was involved in it, because it has to do with territory rights. You know, it says we didn't go to the moon until Russia sent up a cosmonaut.
Yeah, we went to the moon because of the war. Because of the race.
It was a race. Yes.
We didn't want to go to the moon. Russia, you're going to the moon? We're going too.
Yeah, Russia beat us up with the first cosmonaut in space. And the Sputnik with the dog.
The dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Yuri Gagarin was the first cosmonaut who beat our astronauts up.
Once again, who wants to be first?
Basically, anything that has to do with alien spacecraft has to do with our trying to keep it all within the realm of our governments. You know, it's the same as I'm sure Russia and some of the other big countries have their own secrets that they don't want us to know about. And they probably have back engineered stuff too. You know, I fully believe we probably have flying saucer type things that they back engineered from this stuff.
Had it in the '40s, if not sooner.
Yeah.
Easily. Reverse engineering, that's what they do. They find a crash thing like the Nazis did. That was one of the articles. There's a bunch of them. It's a lot of...
That's what countries do. They steal the stuff and then they say, okay, we can make that. Let's tear it apart and let's see how it's made.
Yeah, exactly. It's power, it's a money thing.
Yeah.
I got this
and world domination.
World domination, yeah. One world, new world order. One under one command.
Mm.
The WOW signal. You ever hear about that?
No.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
The WOW signal, you never heard of it? No, but you?
I was reading about it, but not really.
The two physicists from Cornell, Philip Morrison, not the cigarette guy. Philip Morris. Is that Philip Morris?
Mm-hmm.
Philip Morrison and Giuseppe Canoni.
Canoni?
Canoni.
Must be Italian. Famously tried to imagine how an intelligent alien civilization might try to signal Earth. Just like one of those like nights when you're out there. Like, I wonder how they'd be trying to communicate.
How would they talk to us?
Little do we know, they're already here. But basically, they said a radio transmission, some kind of signal they're thinking about it, we have to be able to perceive it. So how would they send something that we would be currently able to receive? And that was a radio signal. So 18 years later, their prediction of that, you know, it actually came through.
The prediction of what?
Them receiving a radio signal.
Oh, all right.
They were saying, you know, I bet you if they should contact us, they'd do some sort of a signal. 18 years later, they found something.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Jerry Amon, was a volunteer researcher from Ohio State University's now defunct Big Ear Radio Observatory from Sensi.
Big Ear.
You ever seen that picture of the guy? He's like leaning against this little tube and it's a giant, because so they hear the radio signals.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things is actually, it's a radio signal, it's actually in New Jersey down in.
Wow.
But it's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. he was tasked with scanning radio waves from deep space in hopes of finding a signal that bore hallmarks of being sent by the intelligent form. On August 5th, 1977, he saw a measurement spike. The signal lasted for about 72 seconds. It was loud and appeared to have transmitted from the constellation Sagittarius, near a star called Tau Sagittarii, 120 light years away.
Hmm.
He wrote the words "Wow" on the original printout of the signal, because it comes in like numbers and different frequencies, and
right.
Decoding them. He wrote the word "Wow." Thus, it's titled the WOW signal. All
right.
Attempts to locate the signal again have failed, leading too much speculation. You know, you claim it happens one time. It's a pretty big claim. People are going, "Well, we'll see it again. Well, what else you got? Do it again." You know.
Yeah, but
those
he's got.
Things,
but he's
120 light years away. That signal is going to take a while.
Yeah, but the signal was recorded.
Mm-hmm. It's on paper.
Yeah, it's on those graphs. They record it on the graphs.
You know how people are, though. They want to see more.
Well, you got to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
In a laboratory. Or it's not real to them.
Yeah.
That's their fault. Yeah.
That's another mystery unsolved as far as we know.
Another unsolved mystery.
Mm. I have one from Scotland, which is a bridge named the Overtown Bridge. And in 50 years, 50 dogs
that was creepy.
Spontaneously leapt to their death from the bridge. Like, they were all guided to go there. And basically, it was at the same location every single time on dry and bright days. So it wasn't like it was, you know, anything that had to do with bad weather. What was interesting about the dogs is they were all long-nosed breeds, such as collies, labradors, or retrievers. And they dropped 50 feet into the waterfalls. A few of them survived, just a few. But they just went and did it. When the dogs were rescued and taken back to the bridge by their owners, they jumped off again. So it's like it's almost like there's some kind of thing there drawing them to do it. And then there were rumors that the bridge was haunted and cursed. And the creepy thing about this is this is in 1994, which obviously is...
Well, that was the year I was born.
A man just walked up to the bridge and dropped his baby over it and said, you know, he thought it was cursed. So that's why he thought this bridge was haunted. And it was a place, you know, for that bad stuff. So he said his kid was the Antichrist and just dropped him.
Oh my God.
Dropped him over,
oh
and then
my.
He tried to kill himself. So it was almost like there's some kind of strange signal.
Some very negative energy coming out of that bridge.
Odd that it's like only specific, you know. And we know animals hear those certain signals anyway, but then everyone would.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that is, and
why
would you bring your dog back? To see what it would do again.
For that bridge.
They definitely have some ops, you know.
Suicide bridge for dogs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Very creepy stuff. There's a lot of neat stuff, though.
I like the one, the Voynich manuscript.
Yeah. We mentioned that once before.
That one's
super cool.
It's roughly a 250-page book written entirely on an unknown language and writing system. It's been carbon dated back to the 1400s and includes illustrations of plants that don't resemble any known species that we know of. It's a name for the Polish book dealer who purchased it in 1912. It's believed to have been intended as a medical text. Its first owner was Greg Beresch from 1585 to 1662, an alchemist from Prague. Then he tried to origins to no avail. It changed hands for centuries until it was purchased by Voynich, who said that it was authored by Albertus Magnus, an alchemist, or Roger Bacon, an early scientist. However, some believe that he fabricated the manuscript itself, but that doesn't explain the carbon dating. It goes back to the 1400s of the paper and the ink. Centuries after it was first discovered, it still remains totally impenetrable and inexplicable. I looked it up. Actually, I remember looking it up that one time. The plant, the drawings are beautiful, but you can't read a single thing because the language is unknown.
Yeah.
And the plants are unknown. Whether the plants were, you know, it makes you think that it was left here. It comes from a different realm, a dimension, another planet.
It's like the scriptures that they found on Easter Island on those.
Those big heads?
The heads. They can't. It resembles something that may have come, like Egyptian type writing, but nobody can decode it.
Because
it doesn't exist.
Hmm.
Nothing. There's other scriptures, no other countries, no. It doesn't. They can't. Have no idea what it is, what it says, or what it could even be. Still to this day.
You know, it's always fascinating considering the computer power of our de-encryption devices these days. Because you would think that language was going to have some kind of a pattern to it.
Yeah.
You know, it has to have some kind of
a civilization that created their own language. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, remember when during World War II, we read about the code talkers, the Navajo language was so impenetrable. Mm. The Germans never had a clue how to translate it.
Yeah.
So they were the secret to the whole communications during World War II.
Hmm.
The Navajo, Navajo guys, which I always love that story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think there's a movie called Code Talkers.
Anything else in the paranormal?
I have a cool ghost one.
There you go.
Ghost time.
This is the Enfield haunting, and it's from London. So, it's a suburban council house in Enfield, and there was a huge paranormal mystery that occurred between 1977 and 79. And the person that lived there had an 11-year-old daughter who ended up becoming possessed by the spirit of an elderly man. And the mother started becoming irritated by, like, weird sounds coming from the rooms. And when she went to go into some of the rooms, she'd see, like, the chest drawers and stuff opening and closing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the activity progressed so much that it started affecting the little girl. Objects were being thrown around the room. And her and her sister were levitating into the air.
Whoa.
Really?
So then the one minute, she began to talk in the voice of this guy who said his name was Bill Wilkins, who was the previous owner. And she was using obscene language and told the story of how he actually died. So the BBC went in there to film it. And when they were trying to film it, all of their equipment was shutting down.
Yeah.
All their stuff was damaged. Everything electrical wouldn't work. But they actually had people who witnessed it, which is, we obviously know that stuff can really happen. It's scary when you hear it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And children are very susceptible to that, you know, and vulnerable.
Easy. They're easy to get into. Yeah.
Yeah. And that stuff is, well, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been on enough investigations where all of them are just,
oh my God, all the time. And it's in certain areas, too.
Yeah.
There's been times where I'll be in a room and my camera will keep shutting off and just shutting off and shutting off. I'll take a picture, it would just be blocked.
Yeah.
And then I'd leave the room and it would be fine again.
Yep.
And then it would work and I'd go back into the room, hey, look, it can work. And then it works fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's
a lot of times it
sounds crazy right now.
Or it drains the bed.
Drains
out.
A bat. Oh my God! Last time, one of the last times, two fully charged batteries. I was watching them go down, and it was just that weird energy area. It was just sucking the life out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's common too.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
You heard over there?
Yeah. Had to move my foot. Fall asleep. So I have another cool one.
Yeah, I'll go for the cool ones.
It's called the Solway Spaceman, and this was like an amateur photographer who took a picture of his kid, and behind his daughter, he saw like the image of what somebody who looked like they were an astronaut spacesuit, and he basically saying he didn't see anything near her or behind her, any people or anything. When he took the picture, and that it didn't show up until after it was developed. Here's the weird thing. So the family then gets a visit by these two guys, two government officials who call themselves Number 11 and Number 9.
Men in Black?
Yeah.
And, and they asked him to bring them to the scene where he got this paper.
Yeah.
And they never had able to prove or disprove the image. But either way, that's weird. First of all, how do they know? Unless maybe he put it out on some, put it out on social network.
They didn't have social media
or whatever back then. I don't know. There was no date on here for when that happened.
Those men in black,
I think that was
at
like
1950s.
I don't know. It's not. I mean, I could look up and see if I can get a date.
I remember seeing that photograph. It's, the picture is so totally weird.
Yeah, that's a. I'll look up the date while.
Pictures behind. You know, and speaking of time travel, when you talk about taking photographs, when you look back at old tintype photographs, they found a number of instances where there's a person that just doesn't belong in the picture, or they look like they're talking on a cell phone.
1964.
Okay. They look like they're talking on a cell phone, or all of a sudden they're dressed in totally modern clothes in the middle of a group from the 1800s.
Mm.
Because they were able to take photographs in the 1800s, late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like totally strange that somebody, speaking of time travel, that we have a several kind of famous time traveler stories that you can't disapprove. You can't prove or disprove. This is a recent one, a young guy named Noah, and he's been photographed, but only with his face sort of blurred out. He said he's from 2030, and he's even passed a lie detector test while revealing a number of weirdly specific predictions about the future. He's only known as Noah. He predicts that Donald Trump will win a second term. And that there's another future leader claiming the U.S. president in 2030 will be a random person named Ilana Remicki. He claims that humans will reach Mars in 2028, the same year time travel will be discovered.
Mm.
And that Google Glass-style robots will take over the world.
Hmm.
Google Glass, yep.
Yeah, he said, and that in 2028 would be the year that private organizations admit to the world that time travel is real after knowing about it since 2003.
Hmm.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
If not even earlier.
Yeah.
He's one. John Titor is a... Is this the one? Let's see... There's one guy who was, they said he did insider trading. There's no way he could have done the insider trading. And he said he came from the future and he came back in time so he could make some money because he knew what all the stocks were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way he could have known that. It was so arbitrary. And then he did this and then he got huge amounts of money and then all of a sudden he just disappeared and they never could find him again.
Mm.
Jeez.
That was the insider training guy. And I've seen movies sort of based on that premise, which are always kind of a hoot, where the guys come back and, they know what's going to happen. So they come back early and buy stock before it gets big. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one, I have one that was actually disturbing.
Yeah.
But it was everywhere. It was one of the most strangest unsolved mysteries of all time. That was like on everything, and it was in Russia in 1959, and it was the one with the. Did you see the one with the nine ski hikers?
Yes.
That's so the one that I was referring to. That's the original appearance.
Is crazy. Yep. So basically, this group was ski hiking. They went. They set up a camp on a slope. They had their dinner. They went to bed, and then something happened, and they just never returned. So they said that they found the hikers' abandoned tent, which had been ripped open from the inside,
Whoa.
Not the outside. There were footprints left by the group, which they could tell some had socks on, some had one shoe, some were barefoot. It all went to the edge of the woods, and then that's when they started finding the bodies. So the first two bodies they found shoeless, wearing only underwear. It had marks of death by hypothermia, but then when the medical examiners, really evaluated the bodies,
along with the other seven that were discovered over the months that followed, hypothermia no longer made sense because the evidence didn't make any sense. There was blunt force trauma consistent of a brutal assault. Another one had third-degree burns. Another one had been throwing up blood. One was actually missing his tongue. And some of their clothing was found to be radioactive.
What?
Yeah, yep. That's the biggest thing that got my eyebrow going, is the radioactivity.
So, I had a documentary on it where they presented these theories that were real phenomena called infrasound. And that's when the wind interacts with the topography to create a barely audible hum that can induce powerful feelings of nausea, panic, dread, chills, nervousness. It's hard to breathe. And they said the only consensus is that whatever happened involved an overwhelming, possibly inhuman force. So they did things with, they floated stuff where it was KGB interference, drug overdose, UFOs, gravity anomalies,
Bigfoot,
you name it. Okay. They said it, but I agree with the way that happened. All those things were so like odd and unusual, and
yeah.
You know, if at first they thought it was hypothermia, and then they had to go in depth before they even found those other things on there.
Is this a place where the villagers told them not to go up in a certain area? Were they warned not to go there?
No, it's just saying that they just went up. It was just saying that was, well, it's Russia. It was,
yeah,
it was
what's the name of the they, oh, the Dow?
The Dyatlov. Passed.
Yeah, I love Pat.
And that's because he was one of the men that were found. One of the ones that were on the thingy, and they ended up naming it after him.
God, so it was
because
like,
it happened there. So
yeah.
a terror.
That was horrible.
Absolute terror.
And no explanation, especially when they're radioactive. Obviously, had to happen.
Yeah, but the radioactive, would that be?
I don't know if that would cause.
That wouldn't cause. A sound file wouldn't make it radioactive. Mm.
Let's see what Charlie thinks. Hey, Charlie.
Charlie.
Do you hear us?
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, Charlie.
What's going on?
Hey. Calling down from the Adirondacks. I was in Canada today.
Ooh.
Canada. How's that? Did you get syrup?
Yeah. It's far. They don't have syrup in Canada. That's Vermont. They have donuts in Canada.
Donuts.
Oh, donuts.
I love
and they were
Canadian
afraid
donuts.
In the dark.
They're afraid of the dark.
Hey, listen, this is a pretty interesting discussion you're having here.
Yeah.
I've been listening for a little while because nobody wanted to answer the phone yet, but I wanted to ask Dana and Jackie if they got the email I forwarded to them regarding the energy between people. Did you guys get that?
I didn't get it. I can check.
And was it an email?
It might have been a text. I don't know. I forgot how I sent it. But the idea is that there's a there was a university study done, I forgot where, but they're saying that energy can actually be absorbed from one person to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if that's true, you know, we're talking about energy as far as maybe ESP and who knows what else. And I thought you might have seen that.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
No, I didn't either.
But that's definitely...
It's definitely
absolutely
true.
True, yeah.
It's 100% true,
yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
You know,
but cool,
we know that, but there's people out there that don't believe that.
Studies.
Yeah, there's a documentary I saw on that Gaia TV that I've watched.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Heart Energy, I think it is, or The Power of the Heart, and it's all scientific studies about what? It's all scientific studies about how they're able to actually, on paper, get a register from the energy emitting from your heart and how it's the strongest form of energy you can have and what happens when two people merge together and create one type of like big aura, especially if they're in love, because it actually emits an energetic frequency and you can track it on paper.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually an electromagnetic field.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really cool.
That's cool.
It's and you know, it's refreshing because it's a bunch of scientists and colleges that are actually looking into it and hooking these kind of all these things up to people, and they're able to track exactly how much energy the heart gives off, how much electricity it gives off, and you know, your auras. And they talk about the auras.
Yeah.
They talk about being able. They can actually detect the electricity of a human within a few feet. You know, that's the proof of the aura. You can't see it. You know, everyone makes mm-hmm. fun of those people who go, oh, you see auras. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a frequency, just like around the Earth, how we have the electromagnetic mm-hmm. frequency that protects us.
That's why
we're just a mini Earth walking around.
That's why we can detect spirits the same way,
yeah.
because we use that.
It's a measurable mm-hmm. energy that it's your auric field and your mm-hmm. heart. And, you know,
they still have, they have an energy, you know, the energy gets changed as well, but that's the same thing. Everything emits energy.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I would love to. I would love for you to send that anyway. Now, since we didn't
get
it, I would love to see that.
All right, let me see if I can send it again. But it was pretty interesting, and I sat there and said, "You guys would have to know about it, only for the fact that you know so many people doubt all kinds of areas, whether it's paranormal." Quantum physics, you name it, they doubt it. And, you know, all they have to do is open their mind just a crack, and they're going to be amazed at what they
yeah.
learn.
Yeah.
Just open it.
Just a little crack.
Yeah.
Just a crack. So, hey, today's been going, this discussion is pretty deep. I don't know if I understand half of what you guys are talking about. The carbon dating and all of that, and I think Dana, when you were talking, you said carbon dating's been around since when?
Well, it was the 1400s. They carbon dated the Voynich manuscript, and they carbon date the paper and the ink, and that's a process by which somehow they can. I don't exactly know how they use the carbon, what that means exactly, but they know how old things are. And they use it to see how old bones are or how old artifacts are. So they were able to date the ink and the actual paper to the 1400s.
Wow.
By using carbon dating. So this guy that got this manuscript in the 1800s, there's no way he could have made it up, you know, because it was seriously very old.
Yeah. Well,
and I saw it. There's pictures. There's things online. If you look at that manuscript online, you can see pages from it. And the drawings of the plants are beautiful. And there's all this writing that you can't read a word of it, you know, wrapped around all these plants. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so that's why that's why we think it's from another planet or, you know, someplace else, not here. Or, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Well, okay, carry on.
All righty, carry on.
You
now.
Okay.
I'm just going to sit here and listen in. Don't get rid of me in case I have something I got to say.
Okay.
No, we're going to act like as if you're here at the table.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm going to be there next week, you know.
Yay.
All right.
We'll make sure to have it all set up. It's going to be a good show.
Hey, don't get too excited.
Next.
You know how bad I am.
There was something I was just going to say. I had a question, but I forgot it now. I thought it was pretty good. If I say so myself, it'll come to me. So let's see. What other crazy things do we have that are unexplainable? There is. What do you got?
I like that one.
Which one?
The one that was pretty recent.
The March 8th, 2014.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Shutterstock. The last of this collection of unsolved mysteries took place on March 8th, 2014, while flying from Malaysia to China. The Boeing 777 carrying 239 passengers and crew members seemed to have just completely vanished into the air. This was the flight that turned up. Like a year ago, they found the remains of it, supposedly.
They only found little
supposedly
pieces.
Supposedly, they found
of it.
Pieces
yeah.
of it that just disappeared out of nowhere.
Yep. All
I remember when that happened, too.
Yeah.
When it just literally off the map, gone.
Yep. So the plane just disappeared?
It took off, maybe an hour or two into the flight. Connection was lost, and that was it.
Then it turned, but it turned off course.
Did it turn off course?
I think it turned off course.
Let's see what it says. The multinational search effort, I guess this is the organization who goes out and looks for them, the largest aviation in history, has turned up a mere 20 pieces of the aircraft debris. The Prime Minister of Malaysia has declined to comment other than to say that the aircraft disappeared over the Indian Ocean. The lack of closure has, has basically... all
off.
Those people now are coming up with different theories and conspiracies and that.
Yeah.
You know, when they don't have an answer, people say, "Oh, I know it probably happened. I bet you this."
All these theories come about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, according to the Harvard professor, Cass Sunstein, a natural product of horrific and disastrous situations, because such events make people angry, fearful, and looking for a target. So this guy doesn't want to say too much because he's gonna be the bad guy no matter what.
He doesn't want to stir up the.
It's just, you know, you can't explain it if you don't.
You can't bring the people back.
I don't blame him. You know, if I don't know what's going on, I'm not gonna start talking about it. I'm just gonna be honest. Listen, I don't know what's going on. You know, what happened?
Well, that was
it makes you look bad too.
What was so bizarre was it disappeared and it wasn't on its flight path, and they kept expanding the search area.
All those flight recordings they just closed those archives after a while. I wonder if the conversation between the pilot and if they were trying to contact where are you going? You're off course.
You mean the black box?
Yeah, because usually what they would do, even on the end of, you know, let's say radio control, if they start to notice a plane go off course, usually they say,
where are you going? Huh?
What are you doing? You know, and you know, I was just wondering how off course it actually did go before it, you know. It's interesting. You know, some of the theories included the hijacking, captured by the U.S. crew suicide. It was reported that the pilot was having marital problems. Okay, so that's one of the theories. I guess the pilot had problems, so he decided just to
take out a whole plate.
Okay. They probably went on his Facebook or something. A fire abroad the aircraft, maybe. Vertical entry into the sea, a meteor strike, or even an alien abduction. I won't rule any of those out, especially the alien abduction, because you never know. Listen, all we have to do is be right about one of these things to change everything.
Mm.
Just saying. So, notwithstanding the passenger of the 3 years and the expenditure of $160 million just scouring through thousands of square miles of the ocean, the disappearing flight... the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 and the 239 people aboard remains a mystery.
Jeez. You know, it's funny. It's funny. It's like I got a pilot's license and I was flying in the United
States. You got a pilot's license?
And I was flying in the United States. I got it in Africa and I got my American license. And I'm flying between Toledo, Detroit and Fort Wayne. You got to do your triple leg. I tell you, once you get up in the air, they knew where I was every foot of the way, and they would talk to me. Then they would say, "Okay, we're handing you over to this guy, to the next air traffic controller." You know, they knew where I was. I wasn't offline a second with them. It's like I just remember that was so strange.
Yeah, especially like a public commercial flight like that.
Yeah, they know where they are. I mean, they're huge because there's a lot of traffic, you know.
And that's the thing. Like that's why I think it's such a paranormal type incident because, you know, it just literally went. Because if it wasn't, they would have an explanation of, like, okay, there was distress. There was this. There was that. There was nothing. It just turned off like a light switch.
Yep. Very strange.
And that was it. I don't even know if a pilot would have control over the fact that they can turn.
If there was an explosion, the pieces they found would have some kind of residue, right? From an explosion.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Even if it was in the water for a long time.
Some type of
They're pretty good with that kind of thing.
I think they found a couple of suitcases. So you would find bones.
They didn't find anything though.
They found, I thought they found some suitcases that washed up.
The article didn't say.
I don't know.
It just said remains of the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I wasn't out there collecting stuff, so who knows what actually was out there?
Right.
You know, I mean, if it was the ocean,
or whether it washed up on shore,
or they sank. Yeah, the plane did go down, and a lot of it was going to sink.
Usually they'll find something, though. They scrape the bottom and stuff in.
Yeah, but that's a lot of ocean over there.
Yeah. Mm. Eventually everything will turn off.
Well, they had to have known where it was. There was a full plane, so it's not like they waited 2 months to go look. It couldn't have been that long after it happened.
They went immediately to look.
There's got to be something.
Wherever it was, where was it going? From Malaysia to China? Well, the guys in China weren't like, oh, where was our plane is?
But that's what I mean.
There's
got to
be something.
Right away,
yeah.
There has to be some anything that, for it to be that fast.
Just remember,
all of it,
we're only going to know what they want us to know.
Mm. And then in the time they did it, they didn't find anything. They found that other stuff, afterwards.
That's a pretty big question, though. A whole plane just
disappears.
Nothing at all?
That's quite the,
Yeah. Oh, and I found the Britain's Roswell, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Good.
Okay.
Finally.
Lay it on me.
So basically, this took place in December of 1980, where there were unexplainable lights spotted over Rendlesham Forest in Suffolk.
Oh, yes, I know this one.
So, on two separate occasions before the new year, military officials said they witnessed flying lights in the sky before lowering into the woods and sending cattle into a state of frenzy. When they got to the spot where the unidentified objects were believed to have landed, the only things they saw were burn marks in the ground. So a colonel in the U.S. Air Force, Charles Haught, reported the sightings to the Ministry of Defense and as a result accused British and American agents of conspiring of covering up the event. Hmm. Several theories have been put forward, such as flashes from a lighthouse, bright stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a weather balloon.
It was a flare.
Yeah, so that's interesting, too, that there's actually somebody who's saying, wait a minute, this actually happened and you're trying to cover it up.
That'll make a person go crazy, too, especially if you saw something and everybody's telling you it wasn't true and
you're the only one that was there and saw it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the question, your own sanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
What is this one that I found about the Golden Gate Bridge? It was a real ritual thing. It's not really, I mean, it's a mystery, but it was kind of a flip the chicken. You gave it to me.
It's
a mystery.
So many paranormal things running through my head right now. About Thomas.
This really
there must
isn't...
have been like hundreds to try to keep Wall Street.
The chicken crossed the bridge or what?
This is more like a creepy.
Cross the bridge.
Why did the chicken cross the bridge? February 8th, 1981, California, the Golden Gate Bridge. A gentleman named Leroy Carter Jr. was sleeping, a little rough, a little homeless probably. He was sleeping under the Golden Gate Bridge when he was brutally attacked. After police arrived, the grisly scene the next day, they noticed that his head had been cut off.
Ooh.
And it wasn't there. It was gone. Jesus. Somebody took the head.
Was it an even cut?
What do you mean?
Like, was it an even cut? Or did it look like it was ripped? Did they say?
I don't know. No.
Just trying to differentiate which
type
of paranormal.
You want to know what type of knife the guy used or something?
No.
Serrated or straight?
Yeah, well, if it's something like horrible and paranormalish, like monsterish, it's just going to rip the head off.
It would just be ripped. No, it just said it was missing. The head had been cut off, that was missing. One of the only clues left behind the scene was a headless chicken, part of which had been stuffed into the body at the neck.
Ooh. My goodness.
Somebody couldn't put the puzzle together the correct way.
Oh, my goodness.
Reminds me of that movie, Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah. Quickly realizing this gruesome case needed a specialist, the San Francisco PD brought a farmer out. He brought the police.
Oh, my God. This doesn't even sound normal.
No, it's not normal. Officer Sandy Gallant, who who specializes in the Ocelot and satanic murders. They have specialized officer for satanic type murders. Interesting. It's like interesting.
There were a few of them too that we had come across that sounded like that same type of thing.
Yeah, according to her, it was most likely not for sure. It was most likely part of this dark ritual involving Palo Mayombe, a black magic offshoot religious religion center of Santeria. She believed whoever committed the crime did so to make a ritual brew from Carter's brains perhaps ears in the nose. She also predicted that the head would be returned to the crime scene after 42 days to complete the ritual.
Was it?
True enough, right on schedule, the head was returned 42 days later.
So then it was satanic. However,
despite having been called in, the Ocelot detectives was not taken seriously, and nobody was watching the crime scene. Nobody was watching it.
Oh, my God.
So my question as I was reading this was, okay, so you just set up a van, and you wait for the guy to come back with the head.
Yeah, I would wait. Absolutely.
They didn't believe
they thought that this guy was listen. You got an officer that specializes in satanic stuff, so believe what they're saying. Just you know.
Ew.
But nobody believed her, and the murderer escaped. And the mystery was unsolved.
Yeah, but now a chicken and a guy
unsolved.
Are dead.
Yeah.
Chicken.
What did the chicken do?
I know, and they stuck him in his neck.
Yeah, that's all it said.
I'm just messed up.
The last, it was remained completely unsolved.
That is one of the more bizarre ones I've ever heard of.
That's a jeeper creeper.
That would have kept people from walking under that bridge for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Here's a question you've all been thinking about, I bet you. What is dark matter and why can't we see it?
Dark matter? matter, dark energy, all that stuff. We don't know.
We don't know what
it's
it looks
most
like.
Of our universe.
We can't see it. We can't smell it.
We know
but
it's
it
there.
Makes up more than 26% of the matter in the known universe.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothesized its existence, a Dutch astronomer in 1922. That's how we know, but that's a hypothetical thing. He hypothesized it, but it's still mysteriously invisible to us. Most of the matter that's visible is made of neutrons, protons, and electrons, but dark matter does not adhere to this classification. Made up of different types of particles we haven't yet been able to categorize and that interact with light and matter in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's how we're going to do warp drives, by somehow harnessing the energy inherent in dark matter, which we don't understand at this point.
That also reminds me of zero point energy.
Yeah.
Zero point energy is basically what Stephen Greer also talks about. He's the one who explained the different types of frequencies to make this energy so high. He says there's enough energy you can extract from a zero point source. Like in this room, you can extract energy out of the universe through a portal.
Right.
I think he said 1 square foot would be able to power the U.S. for a year.
I know.
He's like, this is, you know, why do you think they're not telling us about it? Because they could buy the fossil fuels, they could buy the gasoline, oil. This is a multi-trillion, it's the biggest business in the world.
It's like cold fusion, in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Those rich people probably want to stay rich.
Yeah.
What else is there saying?
You got Charlie's.
Oh. You got
it? Okay.
It's made up of different types of particles we haven't yet been able to categorize and that interact with light and matter in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
Dark matter does not absorb, reflect, or emit light, but its gravitational influence does bend light as it passes nearby. So that's how we know it exists, because something is causing light to bend as it gets near it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how we also know the dark energy, you know, the two different things. The dark energy is even 68%, I believe it is, of the universe, and it is just a big question mark because it's expanding and going faster and faster. Even as it spreads out, it's measurable that the universe is
expanding.
Speeding up and getting bigger, and
it's going to go to a certain point and then it's going to contracting.
Yeah,
a billion years from now.
That's what they actually considered. I read an article about that once. They thought that somebody actually brought up the idea of the Big Bounce Theory, that it wasn't a big bang. It was almost like it kept bouncing in and out, in and out, in and out.
For billions of years.
Yeah.
Make I mean, a TV show on that.
So
every time you think
I don't know how accurate it is, but I'm not a scientist or physicist.
So every time you think you've got your house all cleaned up, don't even waste your time.
Some cool stuff.
And my favorite is about, my still favorite story is about Atlantis. You know, they still have theories about Atlantis, whether it was really there or just stories. They told the Plato told the story of a land named Atlantis that existed in the ocean and supposedly conquered much of Europe and Africa in prehistoric times. The prehistoric Athenians strike back against Atlantis in a conflict that ends with Atlantis sinking beneath the waves. So this is from Plato. And we don't mess with Plato. He's got a lot of good ideas. So they said, well, no serious scholar believes that this story is literally true. Some have speculated that the legend could have been inspired in part by real events that happened in Greek history. Talking about the Minoan civilizations on the Isle of Crete could have given rise to this. Then there was the eruption of Thera, a volcano in Greece that sunk an island off the coast of Greece. Anyway, it's the and then the Atlantis. What do you know about Atlantis? I mean, it's from
Atlantis.
Yeah,
I used to live there.
Yeah, you know, it's
Atlantis. They believe it's the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle. That's one of the theories, or Antarctica. There's many different theories. It was a beautiful place.
But they had crystals. From what I've read,
everything was crystal energy.
Crystal energy. Yeah, everything was crystal energy.
I forgot what the name of it was, but basically that was the energy source. It was a giant crystal.
Giant crystal.
People had 12 chakras versus 6 chakras, and that was all of our telepathic abilities, our meditation abilities, all that stuff. And they believe that when Atlantis fell, we lost 6 of those chakras, and now we're stuck in this 3-dimensional lower frequency, and we're trying to regain that consciousness back by enlightenment. It's a crazy thing. It's a really big theory, but I mean, it's supposedly it was everything that we're trying to get towards now with the whole 5D new Earth type thing. Love, light, energy, no war, no none of that stuff, no greed, no money. Everything is just, you know, the oneness. What the hell is that? Oh.
I have it. That's Charlie.
Oh, you got the thing.
Yeah, he sent me.
You got the article too? You want to read it off? I got an interesting thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you want to read it? I'll go next. Charlie, we get your messages.
You
right.
Opening.
We're vibrating over here.
So Charlie's article was scientists confirm that people are capable of absorbing energy from others, which is what we just talked about. So there was a biological research team in Biofeld University, and they use plants. They use the plants, showing that it could draw alternative energy from other plants. Very interesting. And then eventually providing the evidence to show that people draw energy from others in the same way, which like we just were talking about that we do that. So flowers need water and light to grow, and people are no different. Our physical bodies are like sponges soaking up our environment. So that's why certain people feel uncomfortable in certain areas. And we've talked about this, like when we talk about empaths and things like that too, when we're mixing the energy. What's neat is that they're now getting on board scientifically to say, yes, plants can do this. So yeah, people can do this too. Certain people can make you feel that way. It's not just because they're in a bad place, you know, that physically, meaning we physically are taking in their energy.
Mm-hmm.
So currently scientists are studying whether this mechanism can also be found in other types of algae, where they can see whether seeing is plants eating plants. Algae can digest cellulose, contradicts every previous textbook. Wow.
Awesome.
Interesting.
So algae can...
So it's basically the first time that any such behavior has been confirmed in a vegetable organism.
What, that they're eating another one?
That the algae can continue to grow. So Basically, what they did is they took these single cell plants and found that they can draw energy from a neighboring vegetable, cellulose.
Okay.
And then the algae secretes the enzymes and then digests that cellulose, breaking it down to smaller components. They're then transported into the cells and transformed into a source of energy. So they're taking that energy from that other plant. And then
they're taking a physical component of the other plant,
the
right?
The plant is.
Yes.
The plant is able to, which is amazing. So it just says that the energy studies will become more advanced in the coming years. So basically we'll be able to see this translate to human beings as well, which we already know.
We don't, yeah. For
so,
sure.
Because it's saying the human organism is much like a plant. It draws needed energy to feed emotional states, or cause increases in cortisol and catabolize cells depending on the emotional trigger. That's absolutely 100% true.
Wow. I think I'm going to be a scientist.
So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. That's why being around nature and uplifting, energizing people is what you need to do.
Exactly.
We talk about this all the time. And now they have like the scientific proof on top of it.
I love plants.
It's pretty cool. Thanks, Charlie.
Going cool,
okay.
Yeah. Really, it's cool that there's
some. You ever walk into a
proof.
Greenhouse with those beautiful plants? They're everywhere. You could feel the energy shift.
Oh yeah.
You
can
feel
the moisture. The moisture in the air. It just makes you feel fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone down to the Yucatan. I've gotten off the plane. You get off the plane, and it's hot, but your skin just absorbs the moisture in the air. And I remember standing there and thinking, oh,
your body's like, what the hell is this good feeling?
Oh, it felt.
That was
it
Hawaii.
Felt incredible. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Same difference. You just your whole body woke up, and it felt amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yep. What are we doing?
Our first trip.
It's like coming out.
Far away trip.
Taking that first breath of fresh air after you've been stuck in smog and smoke for so long.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, you said you had one.
Oh,
long
I was just surfing the web. There was a woman who recorded other people's voices in her sleep app.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's cool.
Did you read something
about
that? I guess there's an app.
Spirits?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't read it yet. I just saw the article.
Well, get down to it then.
So she says, this is quoting
her. We'll all
her.
Learn together.
Yeah. Let's learn. Let's have a story time. So this night I was sleeping in my bed. My 3-year-old was with me that night as he's scared of the dark. It was just the two of us in the whole house. The next night I decided to go through and delete my recordings and saw this particular record. I guess she records whatever as a sleep app. I don't know what app it is exactly. I don't know what it's supposed to do, but this is just her story so far.
Somebody who's used them to explain it.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe it's like a meditation app. Maybe it records your snoring or something. I don't know.
Mm.
Basically, in it, you can hear some clicks that start to get louder over the course of the recording. Eventually, you can hear me say, "What are you doing?" And immediately after, there's a deep voice that says, "Nothing." This
oh,
click,
my God.
Whoa.
I just got goosebumps.
You getting goosies? This click becomes very loud at the very end of the recording, you can hear at the same time the voice says, "That's them." And then she says, "I think." I'm pretty creeped out by this. I don't remember being awake that night. The only plausible explanation is that I answered my own sleeping talking, but the voice doesn't even sound like me or something that I can even emulate.
Oh, the fact that she can't remember that she even answered somebody back or was talking.
Yeah.
We do. We forget our dreams and stuff. So maybe
because like people talk in their sleeps, and maybe this is a recording device that trying to you.
Apparently, I have full blown conversations.
You answered yourself, and then you laughed.
In your sleep, you
laughed. Yeah,
I scared him last.
She tends to go to sleep a little earlier than I do. And when you get into that deep sleep, you start to roll over. And then once you start rolling over, then I realize the conversation's about to start. And then you said something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But then you basically told yourself a joke and started laughing. And it wasn't your normal laugh. It was almost like a channeled laugh. It was just, it caught me off guard. And I looked over and I was like, maybe she's watching TV with me. But no. No, you were out like a light. So creepy.
That's very strange.
Yeah. So, then she says, sorry. It definitely doesn't sound like a voice my preschool could emulate either. I have no idea what this clicks could be. I keep a fan going at night for the white noise, but the clicks sound like they're coming from my right ear, where the phone is, which is placed right by me on the bedside table. I want to say that I've picked up the clicks a few times on recordings before, but deleting them, thinking it was nothing. For the first time ever, I've never heard anything like this.
Now, we've had people come in the past when they've been recording to try to get somebody, like if they were doing mediumship and trying to talk to somebody, they'd hear those kind of clicks in the background also. Mm. People have brought in things for us to listen to that had that same type of a, you know, so maybe it was some type of entity.
There's something else that she added later on. This person responded to her posting this, and he said, I actually private messaged her with the sleep app story. She was happy to say that things were going well in their new home and her son was doing well. However, if you look at the more recently dated comments as the story was posted, she says her son started asking where Ho is. H-O, I guess the name is Ho. He started asking, where's Ho? And the mother would be like, who? And then he would say, the black guy with no face who comes out at night.
Oh. Whoa, man.
Well, that'll freak you out.
Yeah,
that'll
really figure you out.
Yep. Basically, yep. Apparently, Ho had followed them into the new home.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's not meaning them harm.
The dark shadow would not. No. He's just there with them.
He's
and
there.
Mm-hmm.
What was it he said to her, though? He told her.
He says, when she was sleeping, she had said, what are you doing? And then the response was nothing from this guy, who we assume is the nurse.
So her sleeping self saw this and recognized this person.
I guess. And then said, what are you doing? And then a few seconds later, he just heard nothing.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yep.
Man.
And then the little kid asked.
Yeah.
Because then they moved, and that's when the person asked, how's the new home?
Yes,
and the little kid's been asking me, where did Ho go? You know? And then, yeah.
Well, then he didn't follow them.
No, I guess not.
Ho was. Ho was
there's
there.
Actually.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, wow. There's actually the recording of the audio right here.
Mm. Can you play it?
I can try.
Can the listeners hear?
I don't know if I can be able to hear it. We have 10 minutes. A little less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, see, try it and see.
Let's see if it'll load up.
I don't know why she was recording her sleep.
A lot of people do that, but even as much as we do paranormal investigating, I don't know if I'd want to listen to an entire night of what's in our room while we sleep because we have some funky stuff.
So, I'm not just saying this. There's times when you'll be like saying things that I can't recognize, and then I don't know. It's like you know how we can feel the presence in certain areas. It's like that. As I start thinking, I'm like, I wonder if then I try tuning into you a little bit. I'm like, I wonder if she's talking to anybody in here. Maybe she's just dreaming. And then after a little while, sometimes nothing comes back at all.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there's like, you know, you can feel the energy. You can hear the ring in the ear.
Yeah.
So when you're in the unconscious state of mind, it seems like you're perceiving way more than I am. Because I'm getting the ringing sometimes, but I can't, you know, hear anything. You apparently do. You're having a whole conversation. You guys are playing freaking chess. You guys are doing all kinds of stuff.
Going to parties.
Yeah, it's going to be a...
flying through the air.
Let's see here. Nighttime phone audio.
Yeah, it's different when you're doing it like in person and you know what you're, you know, we know we have stuff there. Oh, yeah, put it. Can you put the mic by it?
Let's see if I can. Okay. I wonder if I should just put it on my computer.
Sorry.
Okay, so this is a different one.
And the little kid
she
didn't
said,
hear
what
anything.
Are you doing? And then something set up, pissed off, and then the phone drops.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I heard that. It's got a different tone to the voice.
He definitely didn't say nothing.
No. It's in Spanish. All the comments are in Spanish, so I don't.
Okay.
You can't hear the rest.
All right, well. All right.
And on that note.
So we don't recommend that you try this at home. unless you, you know. You
unless
got,
you're trying to talk to one of your loved ones or something. That's different.
But then, but that's a lot of time to listen to. I mean, depends on how many hours.
No, I mean, I'm talking about in general, not, you know, if you want. I know people who do. They play it while they're sleeping. But I know people have done that and they mess themselves up because they got.
Freak out
about
scared.
Whatever. There's spirits everywhere.
It's making
that
want to go to sleep.
You know,
I don't want to go back to that room now. People watching me.
we do it when we're awake.
yeah, it's a weird thing. Because I guess when you're alone and it's dark and you're by yourself, you feel more vulnerable.
Okay.
You know, you're not in the state of mind to take these things on.
Yep.
And start to live your life.
Yep.
Unless you feel safe, unless you can tell, you know, you can tell.
Well, that's the thing with the kids
heavy.
Too. They don't have any fear. That's that pure childlike mind. You
well,
were
apparently
talking
about her little kid. Didn't
you know,
hear
she
anything.
He was, and maybe he stuck around for as long as he did because the little kid could recognize and see him, and he knew that.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe it's just a spirit trying to cross over.
Well, we say that once
and the
they
only
know
thing,
you can communicate.
Yeah,
and
they see a little kid. Like, okay, if I stay around long enough, maybe this kid will eventually start to be like, okay, there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can get somebody. You know, who knows? If they're stuck in this realm like an earthbound spirit, anything that would acknowledge them, you're gonna attach to. I know I would.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being in a different country. You're gonna find that one person that speaks your language if you have to, and you're gonna stick with that person.
True.
They can understand you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is fun. We should do it again sometime.
Yes.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Same time next week.
We got 5 minutes left and another week down with this wonderful show.
This is fun.
And we have a busy week ahead of
us.
It's already Wednesday. And
Friday we have Bring a Friend.
Mm-hmm. Bring what?
Our usual Bring Friend.
Got some
Friday
new product.
Yep.
You can bring an enemy too.
Yeah,
friend, whatever.
Technically, you don't even need to bring a friend. We're your friend, so we've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1754, 20-minute reading. And we have a few readers on that day. We have a palm reader. We have our psychic artist who does psychic portraits of somebody who's passed and is with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have 15% off the gift shop all day.
Everything.
From 12 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. We got some new
which
stock.
We did.
Yes.
We our shelves are full, finally. You know, those things go pretty quick, so we had to restock everything. We got some sage back. We got some more incense, all types of candles and some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Books, according, and also Jackie's books, Unlocking Your Sixth Sense, Easy Guided Psychic Development. Just throwing it out there. Yeah, we have to get more card copies because... We have one left now, or two?
Two.
I think there's two, right?
There, too.
Yeah, we had a stack, but last time they kind of, you know, went on us. So.
They've been popular.
But if not, you can always go on Amazon, order one, and get the Kindle version.
Yep.
You can do that.
Yep.
You can follow us on social media, obviously. Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. MySpace. No, we don't have MySpace.
Yep.
That's a lot of work keeping up with all that stuff.
It's a lot of work. It tends to get off balance at times, but we're trying.
Yes.
Yeah.
The last 4 nights have been YouTube.
Yes. Yep.
Non-stop.
Working about 3-4 hours a night.
4 in the morning yesterday.
Yeah. But you know what?
Gotta
give the people what they want.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
That's what it's all about. We're taking our teasings and taking all of our stuff out.
Yeah.
So you can listen to it at home.
Yeah, that's a good. Well, good.
Absolutely.
And I just want to tell anybody who's listening that, who might be listening, or else you're preparing for the storm, just to be safe and careful with the hurricane that's going to be hitting a lot of the East Coast. A lot of us have family members or friends in those areas.
There's definitely a lot of people that we know out there who want them to be safe. People in the Virginia, Carolinas, Georgia now is on the list of evacuations.
Mm-hmm.
They're just monitoring it. It should be hitting landfall in about next 8 hours, 10 hours or so, the peak of it is going to be starting. And just kind of got to keep up with the weather. If you didn't evacuate, bunker yourself in.
Yeah.
Hopefully it passes through without any, you know, like the, it can always change. There's still time, but who knows? Prepare for the worst just to be safe.
Yeah.
Get out if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I hope they're all good.
I think it'll be okay.
We'll send positive juju.
Of course.
Lots of it, yes.
Yep.
We'll try to manifest it right back out.
Yeah.
That big ball, it could go the other way.
Yeah.
Right. Well, next week we'll be doing our Q&A.
Questions and answers.
So those are specific questions people have sent in. Mm-hmm. All different kinds of topics, so it's fine. It'll be just one subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's always fun.
Q&As are always,
yeah,
always
have
some
Q&A.
Questions.
Yeah.
Charlie will be here.
I know. I'm gonna
Charlie's back.
Make sure I pick out all the ones that are specifically just for Charlie.
Yeah.
I know.
Charlie questions.
Zombies.
Yeah.
He hates zombies.
We usually get so many of them. I'm sure there's one in that stack.
Yeah.
Has so many questions still to answer.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're like, are we considered authorities now?
I hope not.
On strange things?
Yeah.
Strange. Well, you know what? Each show for us is an education also. Because
we
ended up doing a lot of
research. Well, a lot of the education, you know, it's based on our experiences. It's based on the things that we do.
Yeah,
sure.
In relation to these things.
Yeah, so, all right. It looks like we're coming to a closing. She's kicking us off yet again. She's the boss.
She's
so, whatever her name is, the British lady.
I think you call her the spicy wench.
Me?
Or Mark calls
no,
her
Mark,
that.
Mark
spicy wench?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Miss Trunchbull. So, all right.
Goodbye from Jackie.
Again.
Goodbye from Perry. Make sure you come Friday. Bring a friend.
Good evening from Dana. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Goodbye from Rodney. Thank you again, and be safe. We will hopefully see you Friday, but if not, we will talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye,
Charlie. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun.